Hey everybody, Coach Michael here. I was just trying to start it a few minutes ago and then something glitched and the whole thing shut down. So I'm redoing it, restarting it. Hopefully it's coming through loud and clear. Open class number 30 today. Happy to be here, really excited. If you drop in, it's great. We're going to be talking about anxiety and sleep. Seems to be a big topic this week in our school. And in some of the comments and some of the broadcasts. So I want to talk about that a little bit today. I'm going to answer an email and I'm going to take any questions that are live for anyone who's joining in. Really excited to be talking about this because I think this is a really big topic. And hopefully this will be really valuable to all of you out there who are struggling with it. So, I want to just say that first and foremost, anxiety is kind of one of those things that can manifest like in physical or mental ways, or sometimes both. You know, it can be like a racing heart. It can be like just a jittery feeling. It can be, you know, the whole mental side of it, which is like inability to kind of think about anything else. If you're just preoccupied with something that's making you anxious, worry and anxiety are kind of synonymous. So, you know, when it comes to anxiety and sleep, very simply, anxiety right there is the kryptonite of sleep. That's what I like to call it. It really destroys sleep. If you are anxious about anything, sleep is probably going to be difficult. And if you are anxious about sleep specifically, it's probably going to be even more difficult or more elusive, I like to say. So anxiety and sleep do not mix. It really, really wreaks havoc on it. When it comes to anxiety, one of the big ways that I think is helpful to look at it is that it usually has some sort of roots in what you might call fear of the unknown. You know, it's that idea that you don't know a lot about something, or you are confused about something. You know, whether it's, and there's, life is just full of these examples. You know, maybe you don't know what a certain person thinks about something, someone that's close to you, and you really want to know. You know, as long as you don't know, it makes you anxious. Maybe some big event is coming up and you just, you know, you're unsure of some part of it. It's not like the event itself. It's more like just there's a component of it that you're just, you don't know if you know everything about it, or you just need to, you know, get some insight about something. When it comes to sleep, sleep is really something in my mind. It's not unusual in my mind to worry about sleep. It's really common. Many, many people are worried and they're anxious about their sleep specifically. Maybe it didn't start off as like their number one worry, but it kind of works its way up the list. And it can emerge at the top of the list of worry. And the reason I think it's common for a lot of people is because simply sleep is mysterious. You know, sleep is something like, if you think about it, okay, the basics, it happens at night, you're unconscious, it's dark. You think you're the only one who is awake. You have nothing but your thoughts. And, you know, then you ask people about sleep. You know, you might confide to your doctor or your good friend or something, having trouble sleeping, you know, and they kind of, you know, they suggest one kind of gimmick or trick or something and it doesn't work, or your doctor wants to, you know, talk about sleeping pills and you really don't want to go down that route. So so you kind of feel like, uh-oh, like, what do I need to like do something about this. You know, your brain kicks into that protection mode. Like, well, we got to figure this out. You know, this can't go on. You know, look at all these horrible things I'm reading about if I don't get this corrected. So it just spirals. And because sleep is mysterious, it leads to a lot of anxiety. So it's really, really common for people to develop some sleep-related anxiety if they're having trouble sleeping. So what is the key? What's the answer? Well, it's kind of like with any other type of anxiety. It's, you don't try to, you know, mask it. You don't try to push it away and just say, oh, you know, I'm just not going to think about that. You know, or it doesn't really work like that. You have to address it. You know, you have to kind of face anxieties, And the key to helping reduce the magnitude of worry or anxiety is simply to learn about the thing that you're anxious about. And very simply, that's education. So when it comes to sleep, for example, you know, you learn about sleep. That's why we started the school. The more you know about sleep, the more you know about, you know, normal sleep. I found over the years helping people with their sleep, just teaching them about normal sleep really, really goes a long ways. It really helps dramatically to help reduce that sleep-related anxiety. You know, I educate people and I say things like, you know, it's normal to wake up a lot during the night, many times, not for a long time. That's not considered quote unquote normal. It's not uncommon, but people wake up briefly a bunch of times at night, like normal sleepers do. Those tend to be more frequent, you know, we get into our elderly years for a host of reasons. So when I ask people, like, how do you feel when you find yourself awake at night? And they say, oh, I start thinking, I get really anxious. And I try to encourage them to say, you know, if you find yourself awake at night, that's normal. It would be, what would be abnormal is if you never found yourself awake at night. That would not be normal. That would be kind of like a sign of, like, you know, you're sedated or something like that. But everyone wakes up multiple times every night. And so, you know, kind of learn about sleep. That's just one little part to it of normal sleep that really helps to learn. And education and just, you know, learn from people who understand sleep. They understand insomnia. They know what drives insomnia. You know, people that can help you kind of demystify sleep. Just like with anything else in life, you know, if you had something that you didn't know enough about and it was making you anxious because you just didn't have that answer. I mean, it could be financial, it could be relationship, it could be health, it could be anything. Once you get that information, even if the thing that was making you anxious doesn't necessarily resolve, at least you know more about it. And when you know more about something, your anxiety goes down. So when it comes to sleep, education is the key. I know you've heard us talk about that a ton on this channel, and it's really, really true. I mean, education is the answer to insomnia. So, you know, you're gonna come across all kinds of things, you know, gimmicks and tricks and pills and supplements and all these kinds of things. Those aren't the answer for insomnia. Insomnia is learning about sleep, learning about your experience and changing the way you think about it so that you kind of get more of a true reality with what's going on rather than fear and anxiety and which just drives the hyperarousal that perpetuates insomnia. You know, you kind of get a more calm demeanor when it comes to sleep. And that in the long run is really, really important to be able to just think kind of just like not indifferently about sleep, but like, you know, understand that it's not perfect every night and tracking it doesn't help and gimmicks and pills and supplements don't help. It's just the way that you think about it that really is ultimately what it comes down to. So learn about normal sleep, learn about insomnia, learn how, if you have a rough night, like be really objective about, like notice that it doesn't really have to affect how you feel the next day. Like you can be perfectly productive the next day, you know? And I think the key is really to just take this big kind of overall picture of your sleep as just like, it's part of life, right? You know, it's like yin yang, right? It's kind of like wake, sleep. It's just like a cycle. So, you know, it's not completely separate. That's another one. It's not like a timeout. You know, your body's doing different things during sleep that it doesn't do when you're awake. Certain physiological processes kind of change. And you don't need to worry about any of that. It just happens. So, you know, it's kind of like this thing that you need to understand a bit about if you are anxious about it and if it's driving your chronic insomnia, learning about anxiety, learning about sleep and how it's kind of, it's all not, I don't want to say logical that people might worry about it, but it's not surprising. I guess that's the word I'm looking for. It's not surprising. You know, it's, you're unconscious, it's nighttime, it's dark, you're alone, all these kinds of things. It just kind of lend itself to driving insomnia. So let's see, we got, Ed is talking about Dr. Claire Weeks' audiobook. Yes, absolutely. Good, really good material there. And Coach Daniel was talking this week about it in an interview he was doing with someone who was using those techniques. So yes, anxiety is like a big topic when it comes to sleep. It really drives a lot of insomnia. It really does. And so learn about sleep, learn with normal things about sleep. It just will help demystify the whole thing. And then you can take more of a logical approach to it and not have it be something that's such something that preoccupies you. You know, you don't want to get preoccupied with sleep. Okay, so those are just some thoughts there about sleep and anxiety. And I want to go on, and we have an email here that I'd like to talk about and change the screen there. Okay, so this is an email from Jimmy. Hello, Daniel. I've been having trouble sleeping. I don't know if I'm sleeping or not. When I lay down and close my eyes, I try to sleep. It doesn't feel like I'm sleeping. For example, say it's 10 p.m. and I go lay down into my bed and close my eyes to try and sleep. I feel like I'm not sleeping. I'm still aware of the noise and sounds. But when I look at the time, it's already 7 a.m. I wake up feeling like I haven't slept and like I've been up the whole night with my eyes closed. I'm afraid. I don't know what this means or what this is or what it means. I don't feel like I'm dreaming. Sometimes I dream. Sometimes I don't know if I am or not. It's weird. I would love an answer because I'm scared. I'm only 27. My mind thinks too much and can't turn off because I'm thinking about this too much. I don't know if I'm sleeping. Okay. So, good question there, Jimmy. That's really common, actually, what you're talking about. This whole idea of perception and sleep is a really big topic. It's virtually impossible to gauge time very accurately during the night, especially if you don't make it available to you. People are notoriously inaccurate. You know, normal sleepers tend to overestimate their sleep, and people who struggle with chronic insomnia tend to underestimate their sleep. So odds are, chances are, you're sleeping a little more than you think you are. Just statistically, the timeless night, it's huge. You know, just get the time out of the night, set your alarm for morning, set it and forget it. And then you're just kind of going introspective. You're asking, you know, you ask yourself, or you perceive when you're truly sleepy, and then that could be a time to go to bed. If you're not truly sleepy, consider, you know, sitting up in bed, maybe leaving the bed if that feels it's like something, just to kind of like stretch and breathe and kind of like, you know, just get out of the sleeping environment. Some people need a little break. It's something that this perception of sleep is really, really normal to be inaccurate. So, I don't perceive my sleep all that well. I don't think, I don't know. I've had sleep studies on myself in the past because I've kind of a sleep tech background, and I was kind of amazed. Like I thought it would take me, you know, half an hour to fall asleep, and then look on the actual recording of my own brainwaves, and it'd be, oh, I fell asleep in like 8 minutes. So really, when you're in a dark room with no time cues, misperception of time is really, it increases. I talked last time on Friday with Daniel. I was talking about those famous cave studies, you know, Nathaniel Kleitman and those cave studies. Well, I read more about like the other cave studies that were done like around that time in the 40s and stuff. And, you know, it's because they didn't have like really good laboratories where someone could hang out, you know, for like a month and they'd record their sleep. So they went to these caves where it was like, it was everything was just a controlled, consistent environment. It never changed. So what they found is that the longer people stayed in that kind of sensory deprived, time deprived environment, that their perception of sleep got even, I think it got even worse as time went on. So they felt like the days, you know, their wake time was getting longer or staying about the same, excuse me. If they they felt like their sleep and wake was about the same, like about 24 hours around there. And they found actually that they were awake for longer and longer when you get rid of those light cues, you know, and it's just like longer and longer, quote unquote, days and longer, quote unquote, nights. So kind of interesting. It's just sort of, you know, I don't want to get lost in the weeds here, but it's really interesting. This perception of time is really not particularly accurate. So the timeless night, I think, is really helpful for just about everybody. And it sounds like, Jimmy, maybe you could benefit from that. Are you dreaming or not? You know, if you wake up out of a dream, then yeah, you were dreaming. But you don't always remember your dreams. You know, people ask, is that okay? Or, you know, do I dream, you know? And some people remember some of their dreams some of the time, I guess is how you could say it. So don't get hung up if you don't feel like you were dreaming, because odds are you probably were. But the big question, Jimmy, is that, you know, how do you feel during the day? You know, it sounds like you're not destroyed during the day. You're worried about your sleep. You're anxious because you feel like you're not sleeping. But if you're getting through your day, look at it objectively. You know, are you working? Are you going to school? Whatever you're doing with your life, are you exercising enough? You know, are you kind of like able to do things during the day that if you didn't sleep at all at night, might be really difficult things to do? So there's probably your biggest answer right there is if you're getting by, you know, getting through your day, everything, you know, seems reasonable, then you're probably getting more sleep than you think you are, which would be kind of normal. That would be normal. So, you know, try not to track your sleep, try not to hyperanalyze it, you know, go through the night kind of methodically. It's sort of that sleep like a robot idea we talk about sometimes. You know, set your morning consistent. At night, you're just listening to yourself. You're just asking yourself occasionally, like, am I really sleepy or am I just sort of bored? You know, if you're bored, don't be lying down flat in bed with the light off, quote unquote, trying to sleep. You know, you might sit up and do something you enjoy. We've talked about that a lot before. So try some of that, those strategies, learn about sleep. I've done some education here with perception of sleep, how it's not unusual at all, what you're experiencing. And then pay attention to how your day goes. And, you know, enjoy your day, make sure you're engaged in things so you're not sitting around during the day thinking about the night. That just drives insomnia, creates more sleep-related anxiety, more hyperarousal. You know, get engaged with things during the day, keep yourself, you know, going. And that sort of plays into that yin-yang thing with sleep and wake. You know, your more activity during the day tends to promote a little bit deeper sleep at night. That doesn't mean you have to run a marathon every day. It just means that, you know, if you're walking around instead of sitting around for most of your day, you might find that that's a beneficial thing for your sleep, kind of in general. So those are just some thoughts there. Send another email if you have any other follow-up question that you'd like us to address. Let's see. We have Lucy. Can you explain paradoxical insomnia? So paradoxical insomnia is kind of like a label. It's sort of like, you know, most insomnia is, you know, has a lot of paradoxical components to it, which is, you know, paradox is like, you know, you think you're asleep, you think you're awake, but you're really sleeping. You know, it's like kind of what we were just talking about with Jimmy's message there. It's something that some people experience more than others. It you know, the solution is no different than other types of insomnia. So you want to you know, just do the methodical night, get time out of the night, don't be tracking your sleep, need that. Enjoy wakefulness at night, you know, kind of befriend it a little bit so you're not worried about it. You know, it's something that happens and you just kind of turn the tables and you have something you like to do. It really can go a long way to helping with your sleep in the long run. So let's see. Then we have a message here from Dara. Can the brain get hurt because of sleeping issues? How to heal it? No. When it comes to insomnia, there's no evidence that it causes any kind of long-term health problem. It's something that your brain recovers. We were talking about this last week, I think, like the whole sleep debt thing, like, you know, over time, can it cause like permanent issues? And there's no direct causation with short sleep insomnia and health conditions, diseases, things like that. I like to point out that one famous study, that 1964 Randy Gardner study, or 65, of the young guy, college student, who stayed up for 11 days and nights. They're pretty sure he did. And he recovered perfectly. You know, it took a couple long extended sleeping periods, like, you know, 20 hours the first time, I think, and about 15 hours the second time. But then he was like back on track. All of his psychological tests that were just crazy abnormal after about like 3 or 4 days, they all returned to normal and no long-term effects. I was talking last week about Nathaniel Kleitman, someone who put himself through a tremendous number of sensory and sleep deprivation kinds of experiences to learn more about the human circadian rhythm. He was fine. He lived to be, passed away in 1999 at 104. So, you know, there's just a couple examples of, you know, they're not experiments, but they're really pretty profound examples of people with really erratic sleep schedules for a while, you know, kind of doing all kinds of crazy things with their sleep, you know, mostly not sleeping much for here and there for periods of time. And they both were fine. So, you know, you just have to understand that there isn't, you know, when you read an article, and it talks about sleep and health consequences, it's always going to be an associative relationship. It's going to be like, you know, poor sleep is associated with whatever, some kind of condition, health condition. Well, poor sleep, they don't show that it caused, you know, that it caused that. It's associated with it. Well, you know, but if you think about it logically, you know, like, let's see if I can come up with a quick example here. Like, you know, if I don't sleep a night, if I just kept myself awake all night long, which is, you know, it wouldn't happen normally. But if I did that to myself, you know, I might feel like some aches and pains, you know, like maybe my, you know, joints and stuff are kind of like flared up a little bit. I feel kind of like achy. I feel kind of lethargic. That would all go away with just one recovery night. So, you know, it doesn't, you know, poor sleep, short sleep and insomnia don't cause health problems. Okay. So I think that's maybe what you mean by, can the brain get hurt? I would posit that no, it can't. It can't get hurt. How to heal it? Learn about sleep, overcome insomnia, get to insomnia immunity, all these kinds of things. And you can do that. And we're here to help you. And you're very welcome, Dara. Thank you for writing in. Oh, we have one more question here from Dara. I think that all day long I'm anxious and thinking only about the night and sleeping, and this brings fear and a vicious cycle. Dara, you have hit the nail on the head. That is exactly what most people with insomnia experience. They think during the day, they focus on sleep. Everything kind of turns sleep related. Anxiety, hyperarousal kick in, you know, you got to solve this problem. What, you know, you start avoiding certain things, doing certain things, all with the intent of sleep. And it doesn't work. It's not the solution. It is a vicious cycle. It is absolutely a vicious cycle. You know, when you're having trouble sleeping, you know, you can kind of get, you know, your thinking might at times not be like the most optimistic, the most hopeful type of thinking. So, you know, have a little empathy on yourself, you know, take it easy on yourself and just take a step back and learn about sleep, watch some of the videos, get an idea of what normal sleep is, and look at your own experience to understand what's driving it. And most of it is what you just described. It's the thinking, the constant preoccupation with sleep and insomnia that really drive it. So, you know, throw in some behavioral things like, you know, keep your morning kind of consistent, you know, try to get outside. These kinds of things are just generally good for you. But when it comes to insomnia, it's more of the thinking that really needs to be addressed. So hopefully that helped, and we're here for you if you'd like some more specific help. Let's see, now we have from Etta, Dara needs to read Dr. Weeks's book. Seriously, absolutely. Last week, Talking Insomnia, I forget what episode is, but if you go to the YouTube channel, you will see it. And Daniel's interviewing someone about the sleep who used those methods, and really valuable stuff, really, you know, a real pioneer when it came to, addressing insomnia and kind of taking a different approach than was kind of the traditional approach to insomnia. So yes, so I like to just suggest, just to start off, is just simply learn about sleep. That's, I think, a great first step. If it's sleep-related anxiety, which I'm assuming most people who are watching this, it is, if they are struggling with anxiety, it's sleep-related anxiety, learn about sleep. It really, turn it into like an interesting thing. I've spent, my whole working life pretty much around sleep, recording it and analyzing it and all kinds of things, laboratories and all that stuff. And it's really an interesting, I've always found it to this day, I find it really interesting. It's just this strange thing that happens to us. And it's an interesting read. Sleep is an interesting read, but be careful about, gimmicky things about insomnia and all that. Stay away from that. Okay. More from Dara. It is that I have struggled with this for more than a year. Not uncommon at all. Not at all. I mean, Daniel would say the same. We've had clients that have struggled for literally most of their life. It still can be a change of thinking that turns everything around for the person. So not unusual at all. It's not fun to struggle with it. As you said, it's a vicious cycle. But you can certainly, you can certainly get some progress, and hopefully what we're providing here can help you with that. Lucci here, at this point, I'm just living off micro sleeps. Okay, yeah, micro sleeps, that's sort of a general term for like little brief episodes of sleep, even like, 5-10 seconds, maybe up to about 20 seconds or something like that. I don't know the exact definition of a micro sleep. It's probably, when you're, the thing with micro sleeps is this. Okay, here's something I want to run by you guys. So when you're actually in your consolidated sleep, you're sleeping and your brain isn't waking up. There's, it's staying asleep, getting into maybe some deeper sleep, these kinds of things, maybe some REM sleep and all that. And then you wake up, you probably have not a real strong idea of how long you've been asleep. But when you have micro sleeps, it's usually like at the beginning or after a period of consolidated sleep. So because you're constantly jumping in back and forth between, wake and sleep, it's just like this back and forth, you're going to become very aware of this experience, and it can be very frustrating. Is it sleep or not? I mean, technically it is, but it's, if you're kind of a sleep nerd, you might call it, it's just stage one, back and forth with wakefulness. Stage one is considered kind of a transitional type of sleep. It's just the first stage you go through, while your brain is, eventually going to get into like stage two and then further from there. So it's a very much like a hyper awareness time. And so if they go on and on, that's something that generally kind of resolves when you start to not care about being awake at night. It's that change of thinking once again, that usually reduces those episodes of microsleeps. I'm assuming you're talking about during the night. Remember the big picture. You never want to be trying to sleep. So if you're lying there and you don't feel particularly sleepy, you're just kind of tired and you're trying to force your sleep, that's not helpful. You want to do something else. Sit up in bed, leave the bed if you want to, sit in a chair next to your bed, whatever kind of is comfortable for you to break up that cycle. Okay. You don't want to go and drag these episodes on for long stretches of time. Okay, so we've got, let's see, Dara asks, what's the name of the book? I don't, go on to the podcast and they'll say it there. I forget what the name of the book is. And you can find that out there. Ellie, hi there, Michael. I'm confused. What is a vivid dream and what is dreaming? Is it the same or are they both REM sleep? Really good question. Most dreaming occurs in rapid eye movement sleep or REM sleep, which, little side note, Dr. Nathaniel Kleitman, who I was talking about last week on Friday, discovered REM sleep with a couple other famous sleep guys. So they think that about, I don't know, I'm going to say maybe 95% of your dreams occur during that rapid eye movement or REM sleep. They think maybe 5% happen kind of in the transition, like going to sleep, you know, kind of stage one type of sleep. But the big thematic dreams, the vivid dreams, almost certainly are REM sleep. So that dreams can be vivid. Dreams can be completely forgotten. There's a lot of sort of amnesia associated with sleep and dreams. And I don't know if you've had these experiences, but you know, I've had them before where, you know, you forget what you were dreaming about. You kind of think, I think I was dreaming about something. And then it's like later in the day, you suddenly remember, and then the whole thing comes back to you. It's really strange like that. And that's like another thing that fascinates me about sleep is how that happens. Like no one really knows exactly why that happens, but it's just interesting, you know, it's like interesting. So a vivid dream or dreaming, well, a dream can be vivid or not so vivid. It can be, you know, you might remember part of it, all of it. You know, there's just so much variability when it comes to dreams. But yeah, most likely they're all dreaming just about is happening in REM sleep, which by the way, is more prominent in the latter part of the night, like the second half of the night. So if you really want to just kind of truncate sleep and really do a real rough approximation, first part of the night is most of your mid-level and deeper sleep. Second half of the night, more of like more mid-level stuff, and then most of your dream sleep. That's really a simplistic way of looking at the night, but it's really helpful for people to just kind of get a sense for what types of sleep they might have during the night. Let's see. Ed is reading the one called Hope and Help for Your Nerves. It's excellent. Check it out. I should go check that out too. Christopher, Dara, I think another client mentioned the book that helped him was the most was Complete Self-Help for Your Nerves by Clara Weeks. There you go. And Ellie, yes, Michael, definitely all the time. I remember so much. I love it though, and I love dreaming, and that is what I love about sleep. Great, I love that attitude. That's so cool. You know, people for like centuries have tried to figure out what dreams meant and what they were, and you know, all this stuff. And when you know, this Hans Berger guy in the 1920s figured out, like discovered that there was like electrical activity in our brains, and we started to record it really rudimentary ways, the psychologists really got interested in it, because they once they discovered REM sleep in the early 50s, the psychologists were like, oh wow, like we know when someone's dreaming, and dreams were thought to be like really psychologically, you know, important, and you know, the content of the dreams and all of this kind of stuff. And so they got really, that's really what drove the field to become, you know, kind of like a pseudo professional field. And then they just learn more about sleep apnea, the significant breathing disorder that some people have, and that really kicked it into high gear. But initially, like in the 50s, it was like the psychologists kind of like studying dreams and stuff that got the field going. Okay, yes, great, Ellie, I love it. It's, you know, love your sleep, it's great. You know, it's just like if you just turn the tables on the whole thing and like befriend the wakefulness at night and just cherish the sleep that you get, and good active days, not thinking about sleep, timeless nights, all of these things that combine, you know, to really help produce a thought like what Ellie says right there. Loves sleep. Loves an interesting component of sleep. It's kind of, you know, it's great. Learn more about sleep and really enjoy it. And Dara, thank you so much. I truly appreciate it. Dara, anytime, you got it. Very happy to be here and taking these questions. And I do a, just so you know, on the channel, I do a Monday afternoon here in the West Coast time, US West Coast time. I do a solo live stream. Daniel does a few during the week and on his own. And then he and I, again, on Fridays, do one together. So that's our live stream lineup for the week. And I want to thank Jimmy for the email. And if anyone watching would like us to address an email, there you go. There's the email address. Shoot us a question and we will do our best to address it in one of our live streams. We love answering questions. we feel like, you know, by talking about it, other people, you know, it's like exponentially other people can be getting some benefit from it and really learning about sleep and their own situation and how maybe, you know, they might hear some common things in these emails, like, oh, that's kind of something I experienced too. And so we just love when that happens, that other people can share the knowledge and guidance. So there is your email right there. And let's see if there's any other things I want to put up here. That's really about it. You know, the sleep, put this one up here, Sleep Coaching Master Program right there. We've got a few members now, and this is a great community, helping people like helping each other. You know, they're kind of like figuring things out. It's really, really interesting all week long. Daniel and I take turns kind of moderating the chat going on there. And, you know, these members are, you know, they're learning from each other. We're helping out too. They have access to all of our video modules that we've done. Your membership gets you a ton. And then we finish up the week on Fridays around 12 noon or so with a drop-in class for our members. So we're just trying to bring a ton of value for our members in our membership program, and we encourage everyone to check it out. Sleep Coach School, thesleepcoachschool.com. You can, there's like a free course you can take there to kind of get a taste for it. And then if you want to really join as a member, it's right there and we'd love to have you. And it's really, it's just super rewarding and really grateful for everyone who has entrusted us to help them with their sleep. And so I think that's it. If you were on the beginning, I had a technical glitch in the beginning. So hopefully I wasn't just staring at the computer, scratching my head for a few minutes there, but I don't know if it recorded or not, but I think this one went smoothly as far as the recording goes. So it'll be on our YouTube and Facebook channels. And I guess that's it for now. So Daniel, I'm sure we'll be on tomorrow doing a broadcast. And I will see everybody on Friday. And then I will be out the week after that. So after Friday, I'll check back in with you guys the week after that. So you guys have a great week and enjoy. And I'll talk to you later. Thanks.